Sports Talk, locally owned, home of our Nashville Predators. WPRT-FM Pegram, 97.5 Murfreesboro, WBUZ-HD2 Laverne, online at thegamenashville.com. We are
ESPN
1025 The Game. Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Robbie and Rex Road with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Welcome into the final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth filling in for Robbie Stanley as he attends a funeral here coming up later this morning. So, hate that happened, but here we are talking all things Titans and Preds this morning. And joining us now on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports. Charles, how are we doing this morning?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty good. So J.J. Watt to the Arizona Cardinals, 2 years, $31 million, $23 million guaranteed. Charles, how surprised were you that that was the contract and the destination?
I was shocked. I mean, I was absolutely, I mean, by both the money and the destination, because, you know, I talked to virtually every suitor that was clearly out there. You know, Packers, Titans, Bills, Browns, Colts, and I don't think they had any clue that Arizona, not until the end, you know, did they know that Arizona was serious. And I think what was interesting was when all this was kind of going down, the price point for the teams was not anywhere near what the total. Now I will say this. I don't have his contract in my hand, so I'm very curious to see the disparity between the $23 million in guarantees and the $31 million total overall. So I want to know how that gap is really comprised in terms of finances. But, you know, the teams that I talked to, look, they were coming out of the box really aiming for this target area of like $12 million per. Now, would a lot of that be guaranteed? Yeah, likely. I think, you know, had he signed in one of these other destinations, the $23 million that he received guaranteed in Arizona would have been pretty much what he would have gotten somewhere else. I just don't know about, you know, that the extra frosting between $23 million and $31 million. And so I immediately, you know, when he blew it out on social media, I started texting teams and I'm like, oh my God, have you seen this? And literally two general managers from that five team pool both texted back, wow. Like they were surprised by the numbers. And, you know, I pushed and basically said like, where did you guys, you know, fall? And everyone was really falling off right in that $12 million range. They were really trying to get him at 12, and multiple told me that when they were engaging in negotiations, people were like, hey, you got to get this up over 14, and teams were just pulling off. They were like, no, we're not going to get there. And once they realized, I think late in the process where the Cardinals were coming in, they were just never landing at that number. Now I know there's a report out there, you know, locally in Arizona that multiple teams offered more. I'm going to tell you right now, unless I am being lied to by the teams that he mentioned, that is absolutely not true. He was like, no, unequivocally, I was told that the offers did not exceed and did not even really approach where Arizona ultimately landed with J.J. Watt. And this is part of the mechanics of where we get in all free agency. When a team appears to have blown out somebody to sign them, you know, there's a little bit of trying to sweep up the eyeballs afterward where, you know, a team doesn't want to seem like they overspent to get a guy. And then conversely, other people are like, well, you know, are these other teams lying, you know, because they got beat out? They're just saying, hey, that exponentially exceeded what we were willing to offer them. So, you know, is there source lying that gets involved? Yes. Would it be rare for me to talk to multiple suitors who are going after J.J. Watt who all said the same thing? For all those teams to basically be telling the same exact lie, I think would be a little bit of a stretch.
Well, and again, and your info is before this happens. So it's not like there's even – it's not spin time yet, right? So
right,
I mean, that's
right.
Another – it's this. And it's wait, like the committable offer in college, man, you know?
Yeah, and I'll even add this to you. Like, I talked to a lot of teams. Now, you know, this is during the Houston blackout. Trez Paylor passes away. You know, this is a lot of me texting with teams asking about Watt, whatever. And I didn't get heavily involved in this, but I did talk to multiple teams about – their pursuit of him, how they would use him. I want people to know this wasn't just me at the last minute saying, like, hey, what's this money, you know? And no, I mean, I had talked to teams through the process. Like, I can tell you for a fact that I know, like, Cleveland, for example, first offer on the table for J.J. Watt in terms of money. And, you know, I can tell you that Green Bay was really hoping to get a competitive price on him, knowing that, you know, hey, this is sort of the quote-unquote homecoming for him, that kind of thing. So, I mean, like, I had some detailed conversations, even to the point where when I talked to these teams about how they would use him, you know, they're like, hey, you know, we'd love to use him on the edge, but we also feel like he could really, we could really exponentially raise his value by rolling him inside to defensive tackle on some downs. You know, schematically, these teams even were telling me how they thought they could use him on the field. So this wasn't just me, you know, shooting off a text about money and teams going, oh, we just, you know, that's not what we would have paid for him. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on in terms of Arizona talking about the money or if they're trying to play the semantics game or what, but I'm just telling you there is no way, unless I am absolutely being lied to by multiple teams that were very interested in J.J. Watt, that they exceeded that offer, which is the tweet that I saw was that a couple of teams had exceeded it. I'm just telling you that the teams flat out denied that.
Okay, well, let's attack some other reporters here. Josh Reed, TV guy in Buffalo. This is a quote from him. There's some great quotes yesterday out in the Twitter sphere. Josh Reed says, for what it's worth, Bills fans, I spoke to someone who was on the Texans coaching staff with Watt, and the review wasn't glowing. Quote, he's selfish, only cared about his stats. Does a lot of things that hurts the defense. He hurt us more than he helped us. And finally, I wouldn't want him, end quote. Does that match up with anything you've heard about Watt? And then I'm going to add to that, too. Like, what? Why did he pick Arizona?
Okay. A couple of things. I mean, I'll say this about Houston. It's not a great environment right now, you know, to be talking to anybody in Houston. Seriously, anybody going out the door. I think they were a little trapped by, you know, look, JJ didn't do full send and go off on the franchise, but he did enough to clearly get out there that he had a lot of displeasure with the situation in Houston and that he wanted out. Of course, that's going to irk some people within the Texans. Now, so people understand kind of what happened at the end here. They had trade offers for JJ Watt, okay? And now they weren't great trade offers. We're talking about, you know, mid to late round picks, that kind of thing. Okay. So it wasn't like someone came and said, hey, here's a first or second or anything like that. But the Texans felt like they were in a position where they could not pick a fight with him. Like they couldn't basically decide, okay, we really want this draft compensation. So we're going to send him to where we want and he may, you know, where he may not want to go or whatever. And, you know, that just, it wasn't going to happen. They were just like, we just need to release him and let him do his thing, because we don't need to pick a fight with Deshaun Watson and this guy and have DeAndre Hopkins out there killing us and having Andre Johnson and ex-players and all these other guys. So they're just like, you know what, just let him go do what he's going to do and we'll maintain the relationship. Cal McNair comes out to the Texan for life, all this stuff. So, but I can tell you that the way that that kind of went down wasn't great. Now, in terms of JJ's reputation inside the Texans, you know, I mean, like, look, was everybody a fan of JJ? No. I mean, some people thought he was kind of a ham, played to the cameras. You know, he had that big speech during the course of the season last year. And I think some players were irked by that because he clearly pointed a finger at players. And there are a number of players in that locker room who are like, wait a minute, man. Our coaching, we've had an issue with coaching, we've had an issue with management, and you're basically pointing a finger at all these players saying, if you don't want to come and play, you know, if you're not going to prepare, then you don't need to be here. And I think they were kind of like, some players were like, why is he not criticized? Like, how about criticize management? How about criticize the coaching staff publicly and not just make it look like it's a player problem? So it's a locker room, a front office, an environment that is very much, it's not great, okay? And so you're going to have people, if you really want to hunt someone who's going to tear a guy down, it's not hard to do that. But again, I will say at the very least, mixed reviews, depending on, you know, who you talk to with J.J. Watt. Very important player to the franchise, very important player to the city, but, you know, not spick and span, not sparkling clean, okay? In terms of, I'm sorry, what was your other question? I apologize. Yeah.
Why, Charles? Why?
Why Arizona? The money. Follow the money. I mean, like, when you talk to other teams, like, they're like, well, just follow the money. They're like, the money, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And it's a lot of money, and it's a team that people can say whatever they want, but there's no clarity that Arizona is any kind of a favorite in the NFC West. The NFC West is a mess. I will give people that. You know, what's going on with Seattle and Russell Wilson is jacked up right now. That could hammer that franchise by the end of the offseason. Jimmy Garoppolo can't stay on the field in San Francisco. I still don't think that's completely resolved there. And then, you know, the Rams just swapped out their quarterback. So every other team in the division, it's not like there's some vulnerability in the division, surely. But I don't know that he looked at Arizona and went, oh, okay, well, there you go. There's my Super Bowl contending team. I don't even think that's remotely I don't think it's fair to look at the Cardinals and say they're a Super Bowl contending team. But Cliff Kingsbury, very much a player's coach, okay? Like, I'm sure, you know, I know he's had conversations with DeAndre Hopkins. Completely different environment than what he played under in terms of Bill O'Brien the last, you know, the expanse really of most of his career in Houston with Bill O'Brien, and that's a completely different environment. So I think that helps. But again, I think the money means a lot. You know, ascending quarterback, you can say whatever you want, but look, at the end of the day, think of all the other teams that were courting him, okay? The Packers wanted him badly, okay? And the Packers are a team that I think are closer to be a Super Bowl contending team. The Cleveland Browns wanted him badly. They're a team that I think are closer to being a Super Bowl contending team. Buffalo, okay? Let's see, the Colts, again. So you do, you know, the Titans. Like, you're talking about teams that are all closer to being a Super Bowl contending team than the team that he just went to. It's just that I think there was a price differential, and I'm telling you, teams wanted him at about $12 million a year. That was not going to happen with Arizona's offer out there. And it's suggestive to me that when I see that contract, the difference between 24 and 31 or 23 and 31, it sounds to me like 31 is earnable. Like it's a very earnable $31 million for him, and that makes a heck of a difference.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Charles, you brought up Russell Wilson. What percentage chance do you give it that the Seahawks would actually trade Russell Wilson this offseason?
Man, it's a mess. It's a lot messier there than I realized. You know, I would have put, if you'd asked me this, you know, 2 weeks ago, I would have said zero. I'm like, there's no way this ever happens. I still don't think you have to have someone who has the ammunition to go and get a Russell Wilson. And again, I think this is a 3 first-round quarterback kind of guy. And not only the ammunition to go and get him, but the cap space. You have to know that you're bringing in Russell Wilson to sign him to a new deal. You're going to elevate him to, you know, a $40 million quarterback. I think that hinders things pretty significantly, considering that you still have Deshaun Watson out there on the market, although they're not taking calls, but I think that's going to change for the Texans. And, you know, that's if you're taking a $40 million quarterback, I think you're going to take the younger, more quote-unquote ascending of the two, and so you're going to lean into Deshaun Watson first if you're giving up those kind of assets and that kind of cash. So there's just not a lot of slots out there for a $40 million quarterback who's going to cost 3 first-round picks. Now, I know people have said some things about New Orleans. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I can just tell you the New Orleans cap situation, they're reworking a million guys just to try and get, you know, inside of where the salary cap's going to land. And then, you know, I don't know what the deal is with Drew Brees pushing the slide and like, what's Drew doing working out right now? And like, I don't even get that. I'm like, what is he doing? Like, is he going to retire or not? Because clearly I think the Saints thought they would have that resolved by right now, and they don't. And, you know, there needs to be a little bit of a come to Jesus meeting, I think, between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson and maybe some other members of that staff and try and work out some hard feelings. But I think that some of the reporting that's out there, and this is what alarms me, is when I read some of the stuff that now has kind of gotten out there, feels like it's team motivated. Like that's somebody inside the team that's starting to put some stuff out. And that's usually a pretty big sign that things are fairly broken. But if you don't have a place to offload him and you're not willing to lower your price, you know, that it would cost to trade him, I don't know how you ultimately end up resolving that situation. Somebody's got to come to the table with a lot to peel away Russell Wilson.
Charles Robinson covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. Charles, thank you so much for joining us like you do every Tuesday at 9, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Charles Robinson. I don't know why I'm saying Robertson. Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports. Interesting.
That's close. You're in the neighborhood.
In the ballpark.
Yeah.
Some interesting stuff there on both J.J. Watt and Russell Wilson, and we'll react to a lot of what Charles had to say coming up next here on Robbie and Rexroad. I'm Ryan Porth filling in for Robbie Stanley for the rest of the show alongside Joe Rexroad. We'll get to all of that coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.